Have you heard of the ancient Keyblade War?
Yeah, the Master's favorite story.
So, you know the Lost Masters? They're the ones who started the Keyblade War.
Never heard of them.
You can drop the facade.
Hey everybody, it's Boss Bear Radio, episode E3 2015, part 6. I am Griffin Hoffman.
I am Jeffrey Brewer.
You are.
My name.
Own that name.
That's what they call me. What's in a name?
A man. A man is in a name.
A rose by any other seal would be kissed just as much.
What
I think that's how it goes, right?
Yeah, exactly. What happened to Seal's face?
What happened to Seal in space?
What happened to Seal's face?
Oh, his face. I think he got burned or something, man. I don't
really?
Know.
Really? Oh, Jesus.
I don't know. I assume he has some reason for having face things.
Okay. I just, you know. That was like Hollywood or something.
Attractive man. Hollywood happened to his face?
Hollywood, yeah. Or Bollywood. Or Bollywood. Probably Bollywood.
It's always Bollywood.
It is. Well, speaking of Bollywood and stupid shit, let's talk about the Square Enix press conference.
Let's say the Eastern world imitating the Western world in weird ways.
Mm-hmm. But weirdly inversed, twice over.
Yes. Yeah. Square Enix?
Square Enix.
Square Enix. They had a conference. Theirs was the last conference of E3.
Well, kinda.
Of pre-3.
Yeah. I mean,
What's
there was that?
That
PC conference.
No, there wasn't. That didn't happen.
Okay.
We just pretend that never occurred.
The last official conference of E3?
Sure.
Yeah.
The PC conference, I'm going to summarize the PC conference right now. Mm-hmm. Day 9 sat behind a desk and thought he was Conan O'Brien.
Nice.
And yeah, and made a lot of comments about how PC was amazing because you could like shoot stuff. It was pretty lame.
Hmm.
But there's a lot of Microsoft announcements there.
Yeah, yeah, I heard there were. Pretty much anything coming to the 360 is all, or to the Xbox One is coming to the PC. So that's the long and short of it.
Yeah, quite interesting. Phil Spencer, I think, stopped by to be like, "Hey, we love PC again. I swear." So. Anywho, let's talk about something that isn't that, because that was pretty dumb. Yeah, like I said, we're pretending. So Square Enix. Speaking of dumb things, let's talk about them.
Yes, let's.
So, how did the Square Enix conference start, Griffin?
That's a great question. I don't have the doc up in front of me, so I can't tell you. Do you?
Okay, I'm going to tell you then.
Okay,
it started with the Just Cause 3.
Take it away, Jeff.
Started with the Just Cause 3 being talked about. I think the big reveal, and I have no idea if this had already been talked about, was that instead of one grappling hook or grapple line or whatever, you have multiple grappling lines, mm-hmm. which seems like a very logical progression. Mm-hmm. Did you play Just Cause 2, Griffin?
Hell yeah, I did.
Yeah, it was like a fun 5 or 6 hours.
Yep. In like 2010, that was my favorite game to just play when I was super drunk.
Perfect. Yep. Especially with the really over-the-top hamming it up.
Well, I wasn't playing the story. I was just like, I'm going to play this game and I'm going to fly this helicopter and jump out of it and then see if I can get back in the helicopter.
Yep, that's living the dream, man. You mm-hmm. jump out of the thing and get back into it.
Yep.
But anyway, the big thing for Just Cause 3, other than the already announced wingsuit, seems to be the multiple grappling hooks, which is super cool.
Yep.
They showed off a lot of environmental destruction, which is pretty neat. Story looks equally terrible.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's another dictator in a banana republic type situation. who has designs on world domination.
But this one hits close to home.
This one hits his grandma.
Oh.
Or something. And then they made a point of saying that you have unlimited C4, which I thought was hilarious.
It's actually called Nana Kaz.
Yeah, I thought what was interesting about that was they really made a point of talking about how the fans had made Just Cause 2 into a lot more than it was. Mm. And they kind of alluded to the multiplayer, giving that game a new lease on life, and just the really, like, how passionate the fan base was and how they allowed them, like, they inspired them to make this game a lot better.
So sure.
That was pretty cool. But yeah, that was the first big reveal. And they announced that's coming in 2015. So 2015 has games confirmed.
Hell yeah.
But then this being Square Enix, you know, you can't talk about a game that's coming out without announcing a game that may never come out.
Mm-hmm.
So they followed that up with something that I think excited both of us quite a bit. Yeah, that was a sequel or a something quill to Nier. Mm-hmm. It was pretty great because when they showed the trailer, it said Nier, and then there was just a bunch of unintelligible characters.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is going to be good. And interestingly enough, it was in partnership with, first of all, the character designer for FFT. So I've got to assume that nobody's going to have noses. But also Platinum Games is going to be working on this. So they've, like, I feel like Yoko Taro, the guy who directs these games, has slowly graduated from, like, terrible action developer to, like, pretty bad action developer in Access Games. And then on to Platinum Games, which is, like, really good action developer.
Yeah.
So maybe the game that comes with the interesting story will be competent as well. Although I actually am in the, I guess, minority who felt that the combat in Nier was perfectly competent.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, I thought it was fine, too. I love the combat. It was totally fine.
Oh, I had no idea that I was not alone in this sentiment.
Well, I mean, you and I kind of have more of, like, the... We're more willing to put up with, like, the jank of a third-person action game.
Yeah.
Than I think the other...
Yeah, not only do I like, put up with it, I kind of like it. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't trust me at all.
Sure.
But one of the big highlights for me with that was that Yoko Taro came on stage. He's of course the director of Nier and the Drakengard series, and he was wearing the Amal helmet when something that belongs to one of the characters in the game, which is just big, gigantic grinning stone face, like that looks really creepy, and he just was wearing that for the whole interview.
Mm-hmm.
No mention of the fact that it was on his head. He just was like, "Hello."
Not ironically, and I think a lot of journalists and whatnot didn't really have the context for it and may have taken it as a gag, but you explained it to me that he has, like, a social anxiety, and he does that because he doesn't want to have his face in public, and it makes him more comfortable.
Yeah.
So that was actually super interesting, like, probably the most interesting out of this press conference.
Yeah, I think so. It was funny. Like, that was the big thing that people were saying. Like, the conference was just kind of aggressively boring. Everyone came up there and just kind of spat out information. And even him, he was like, when he came up there, he had the mask on, but he also just kind of spat out information. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the way the whole conference went down. But yeah, it was super interesting to see him up there wearing this mask. And then I had remembered, yeah, that I'm not sure if he has social anxiety or not, but he never. During interviews shows his face. Like, I guess he's used a sock puppet in the past, which is super odd. Mm-hmm. He's worn a paper bag over his head.
That's great.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it. But yeah, he's worn a paper bag before, so he's done the whole Shia LaBeouf thing.
Mm.
So he's a pretty cool dude. But really cool.
Next thing he makes, he's going to mud wrestle a Swedish girl.
Yes. But yeah, it's really cool, first of all, that he was up there doing his weird thing. But also the fact that this title was even announced. I think this is the most surprising reveal in the show, too.
Yeah.
Because I don't really see Nier as being, like, a franchise that is super commercially viable.
Right. Had legs or, I mean, it did well on, like, fan cult, you know.
Yeah, it was like a sleeper hit. Like, it was, by the people who played it, it was incredibly well regarded. If you go around certain corners of video game forums, it's really well regarded, but yeah. I don't think it was like a sales master, or, what's the word? I don't think it was a huge success financially, sure. First of all. And also, like, it didn't really review that well.
Yeah.
So that was the big kind of really unexpected move on their part. Mm-hmm. And I think I've had some time to kind of process the conference. And I feel like they really made some interesting, even though it was a really boring conference, they actually made some really interesting kind of pivots mm-hmm. in what I think their strategy is going to be going forward in this conference. Mm-hmm. They've certainly signaled things that I wasn't expecting them to be signaling. I wasn't expecting them to show as many Eastern games as they did, honestly.
Sure. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but we can move on. I think. Did you have any thoughts about Nier beyond what we already covered?
No. Only that it seems like it has a really profound, star-studded cast of people who were involved in the last Nier games. Nier game, and that's great. But Nier was not the thing that I was really hitching my way into. But I loved it. So I don't really understand the details of it. But from all the fervor and Jeff, your adoration for all the people whose names kept coming up, I was like, oh, and then Nier, and he was like,
I wrote them all down. And you were like, I think you were probably like, okay. Well, the only major people are just Akihiko Yoshida, who is the character designer for Final Fantasy Tactics, among other games, the Bravely Default series. I've always kind of liked his design. I think it looks pretty cool. Some people don't like I said, the lack of noses. But mm-hmm. Okabe is the guy who did the music for the first one. And mm-hmm. I love the music in Nier. I think it's super good.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm really excited about that.
Yep.
But I did get excited and write down a bunch of Japanese names. Right. So I haven't quite shaken my kind of, what do you call it? Weeaboo. There you go. I'm excited to have this group of people back together again. Whenever this guy makes a game, I feel like it's like, oh, that could be the last game this guy ever makes. And he's, even though I know Dragon Guard 3, I guess based on your kind of experience with it, was kind of terrible. He certainly never kind of follows he always kind of does his own thing, which is exciting. It's not very common, even in mid-level development, for people to do something as bizarre as what he tends to do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, what happened next?
Next, we had a Tomb Raider, I believe. First, there was a CG trailer for just reasons. Mm-hmm. And then they showed some actual gameplay, which I think may have been the first gameplay they showed.
Right. As I had predicted, but did not lock in. This conference would be primarily composed of trailers we've already seen.
Yes, you were on the money on that one. I had no idea you had actually predicted that. They re-showed the Hitman trailer. Oh, no, they didn't show the Hitman trailer twice. They re-showed the Tomb Raider trailer and what, the Deus Ex trailer or something? I can't remember anymore.
The Final Fantasy trailer and the other Final Fantasy trailer.
Oh, yeah. That was so dumb. Why did they do that? They showed Tomb Raider, and they went on and on about how Lara has to be human and believable. Mm-hmm. That seemed to be their big thing. They're like, we need to make Lara as human and believable as possible. And my reading of that was, you have to want to bone her. I don't know what else they mean.
Right.
They don't talk about making Nate as human and believable as possible.
Nope.
They're just like, check out this awesome shit that's happening with Nate.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, Lara has scars. You can see where she got impaled in the last adventure. And I'm like, I don't really need to.
If she just heals. For more than 5 minutes, she gets snow on her.
That was literally what they were talking about. And then they showed some gameplay, which I did not care for the gameplay they showed. They showed her climbing up a cliff face with some ice on it, with some ice axes. And then she falls, and of course she hits something really hard and gets grievously injured.
The same thing they showed at the Xbox conference.
But then they showed a little sizzle reel of different parts of the game. Not sizzle reel, but a little montage of different scenes from the game. And those look awesome. I was all over that. They showed her out there surviving and hunting for shit and roughing it, and I thought that was really cool. But the part that they actually showed was really a super turnoff for me. And I think you felt the same way, Griffin.
Yeah, totally.
It was like it's Uncharted, but not quite as good.
Yep.
But everything else looked amazing. So I'm actually, despite their best efforts to make me not care about this game, I still care about it.
Right.
So they did well.
Yep.
But yeah, after that, they moved on. They could have gone a number of different directions with mobile, and they kind of went in the most classy direction possible, which was bringing out the developers behind Hitman Go and Hitman Sniper, which
yeah.
I wasn't a huge fan of Hitman Go.
No, me either.
And I never played Hitman Sniper, but people like those games, and they're kind of regarded as like good mobile games.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, hey, check it out. We're making a Lara Croft Tomb Raider Go type game.
Yeah.
And it kind of looked interesting. Like, I have no idea if it'll be something I like, but, you know, it's. I thought it was really interesting that the mobile developer they chose to promote was not like the Record Keeper developers, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't Dina or whatever, DNA. It was this guy. And I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. And very solid, because as you had said, you know, we don't really appreciate the Hitman Go games, but a lot of people do. So
yeah, I know Jamie's a huge fan.
Smart to trot that out for the Lara Croft Go, and you know, obviously, it pulls in themes from that game type.
Yeah, but for sure, yeah, and I think that from the company that brought out, you know, All the Bravest, what, like 3 years ago, this is an encouraging gesture from them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought
mm-hmm.
To be like, hey, here's the mobile game we're gonna actually give attention to. Anyway,
it was a smart choice. Then after, like, bring out the safe thing.
Yeah, yeah. Although I will say, no matter how many times they say it, I will never agree that Hitman Go distills Hitman down to the series core elements.
Yeah.
It's some bullshit right there.
Well, I don't know. I didn't really play those games extensively, so I can't say.
I played Hitman Go for like a good 3 to 4 hours, and it does not. It's a puzzle game.
Okay.
Whatever. Okay. Anyway, so after that, we moved right along to a Butt Rock Heavensward Final Fantasy XIV interlude.
Yeah.
With Dragon Quest Heroes thrown in there, which has already been announced, but people probably don't know too much about in terms of... I'm guessing for a lot of people that was their first inclination or that game was coming west.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting to just throw that in there, like, hey, Dragon Quest, but no mention of the Dragon Quest VIII 3DS remake thing that looks pretty cool, which made me really sad. And that was the only Dragon Quest name dropping they did in the whole conference.
Fine for me.
I really like Dragon Quest IX. I thought it was a really fun game. I really want to be able to play more Dragon Quest in a way that I find palatable, which is not
not in line with like... Dragon Quest.
No, but Dragon Quest IX was good. Here's what I need to like Dragon Quest. I need to be able to see the enemies,
mm-hmm.
and that started, I guess, in Dragon Quest IX.
All right.
I need to be able to have like classes and stuff where I can choose how I develop my characters. Those are the two things that made Dragon Quest IX beyond like actually quite fun for me.
Okay, so after
whereas
eight
most
games
Quest
in the
game,
series, they finally switched directions enough for you to enjoy it.
Yes.
Good.
but wait, let me explain something to you. Port of Dragon Quest VIII.
Let me
has
explain
visible
something.
Enemies.
Slimes.
The 3DS port has visible enemies, so they solved one of my problems with that game.
Eh,
okay.
Eh.
And that game has a class system, kind of, where you can choose how to level your characters up.
Okay.
So there you go. I could probably, with modifications, I could probably enjoy Dragon Quest VIII.
That's what she said, yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, moving right along.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we had Shinji Hashimoto come up, who is like Square's master troll, and he just kept trolling over and over again. First, he showed.
All right,
he
Jeff,
showed the
MSN. Jeff, you be this guy,
yeah.
And I'll be the crowd.
Okay, we have a game that we know you're really excited for that we want to show you.
Oh, Final Fantasy!
Final Fantasy VII.
Final Fantasy VII
is coming to iOS. But wait, really, let me tell you something else. Kingdom Hearts?
Oh, Kingdom Hearts!
First mobile game.
What?
Yeah. but, to his credit, in addition to trolling with terrible things like re-showing the Final Fantasy VII trailer with no additional information and a card saying more to come this winter.
And even better, not even a goddamn translation for his audio before he's announcing that.
That's right. I forgot that it didn't come in until after the trailer was over.
Yeah.
He just came up, started talking in Japanese,
right,
and then showed a trailer.
So anybody who doesn't speak Japanese and is watching this is like, oh shit, he's talking about Final Fantasy VII and he's saying things that we haven't learned yet. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
No.
But no, not at all. Mm-hmm. Literally, they just showed the trailer, and then instead of ending after the trailer like they did for the Sony show, they put one more frame in it that said, more to come this winter. Uh-huh. So they did good. And then they talked about, like I said, Final Fantasy VII coming to iOS before the PS4 release, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Announced after and released before. Apparently, backwards compatibility on PS4 is a goddamn nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
anyway, so they announced that, and then they announced that Kingdom Hearts mobile game, just continuing the trolling.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that was so awful.
It was so bad. And then they talked about Kingdom Hearts 3, and I thought for sure, they showed this video of like some Disney execs being like, hey, I was the producer on Tangled, and Tangled is going to be in the game. And then no footage of Tangled in the game, just them saying it. And I was like, oh, okay, this is all we're going to see. But then they actually showed the game.
Yeah.
Which was a huge surprise for me.
The wizard in that room was like, yeah, let this game happen.
Yeah. And when Square shows a game that's actually functioning, it's become a surprise at this point. So.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed the game, and it looked super hot. Like, it looked really good.
Yeah, it really did.
And I was not prepared to be excited about Kingdom Hearts. I was really not. I don't know where you were at, Griffin.
It looked big. Like, the worlds look expansive, and the attacks
they do.
Like a fucking showpiece every time you do a charge up, or I don't know, like a summon with your Keyblade. It's been goddamn like 15 years since I played that game, so I don't even know what it does anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure, for all we know, it like opens the alternate world where Sora's third person reality lives or something. I don't know. But what I was impressed by was not only were the attack, well, first of all, yeah, the world was huge, and they demonstrated the scope by having Sora like jump off an edge or something, and he just like you expected him to like just like fall on a slightly lower edge, but he fell really far,
right?
And that gave you a sense of the scale of the world. But when they were showing the attacks, not only were they like really glitzy and over the top, they had like actual whimsy. Like, I was impressed by how much character there was in the game. Mm-hmm. I didn't think Square was capable of that anymore. I was just really impressed. And especially for a franchise that I really loved the first game, but they completely lost me after that. Like, I played the GBA card game, which I actually liked. Mm-hmm. And then I was done with that series forever because it's utterly incomprehensible.
Yep.
But this game just looked fun. Like, just super fun. And yeah, I was very encouraged by that.
Agreed.
I think that was another bright note in the conference. And I have had no hype for Kingdom Hearts until now. So really, really cool.
Yeah. Very surprising. Was not expecting that to look as good as it did. And I don't know, like, it's really easy to be jaded about Kingdom Hearts.
Oh yeah. Me. So easy. so easy.
Because I have no idea what the fuck's happening in that series. But this thing they showed off is like, oh, cool. Like, it actually looks like a fun game. Like,
mm-hmm.
So I'm in.
And even like the emo bullshit, which I had no understanding of, was like not that bad.
No, it wasn't terrible.
I was like, wow, this is tolerable.
Yeah.
So, wow, they really did good on that one. That was definitely a big exciting bit for me.
Intentionally. Then they moved on to something which.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was intentional. I think they knew they had something good going on there, and that impressed me. But what came next did not really impress me so much, although having had some time once again to sleep on it, it kind of intrigues me, actually. The big thing that they announced at Sony's show, which I think we touched on, they talked a little bit more about World of Final Fantasy, which is my bet coming true, even though it was one of many secret titles. But it seems to be like a mashup type thing where lots of different FF heroes come together. Not crazy about that, but I guess the big thing is like they can grow and shrink, which we kind of already knew.
Yeah.
But like the guy making it wants to make the game accessible for children, I guess. I don't really know.
Yeah. It was a weird statement when he was like, it's for kids and adults who want to play with their kids. So
yeah, I added
two sets of people.
Yeah, I added simple but deep, hard but easy, long but short, and smart but dumb.
Uh-huh.
But apparently... Go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, but apparently... Well, first of all, my first thought was, oh, this is some kind of, like, monetization scheme. But apparently it's, like, a real game, and this guy is taking it quite seriously and really wants to do something interesting. My big theory was that it might be Toys to Life.
Yeah, I think your theory...
Because those things kind of look like toys.
Yeah, it really makes sense that it would be. They do look kind of toy-ish, but I don't know if Square has the monetary backing to get into that market.
I think that their brand still has enough cachet for them to be able to like sell characters. Like, people will buy Chibi Lightning.
I don't think their brand does, though.
I don't know. I think, well, certainly in Japan, they would probably do all right. But maybe not in the U.S. No.
The City Energy Drink ran its course, Jeff.
I should never have drank it.
See, that's why you believe it, because you drank it. You drank
the elixir.
You literally drank the Kool-Aid.
No, dude, I didn't need it, though. I topped off my MP. I just used a tent. It was a foolish maneuver. I don't know. I do think they could pull it off. I mean, think about how much people love chocobos. Love a chocobo. I love a chocobo.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love chocobos?
Yeah, but it has to be the right art style, and that was not the right art style.
I suppose. I did think that the picture of Terra riding a Magitek armor was super cute.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't really care for the art style.
I thought it was super cute after you said that, and I was like, oh, that's what the fuck that is. I was like, oh, that's
cool.
You're
not as much of a crazy person as I am.
Full Metal Alchemist face guy over there.
you're not as much of a lunatic as I am.
No, I mean, in different ways, yes, but no.
Yeah, when it comes to Final Fantasy, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But in other ways, yes, for sure. I don't know. I'm actually willing to, after being initially like, this is super stupid, I'm willing to wait until we actually see something with this game and see what they're doing with it. Because I think there's a lot of interesting potential there. I don't know. I'm excited for potentially, possibly decent things.
I'm interested in seeing what they think they can put into press conferences to be important.
Yeah, exactly. Like they, even though we haven't seen anything, they talk about it in such a way that like they clearly think this is an important project. So that's got to get your attention at least a little.
Yeah.
Anywho, though,
it's way better than a shitty cartoon Disney Boba Fett in my mind.
Yeah, I think so. But we'll see. I guess again, it has the potential to be way better. It has the potential to be far worse.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, Square has done some heinous things in their day, but we'll have to see. The next big thing, though, moving on, that they talked about was Hitman. And rather than just showing a really bad trailer like they did over at the Sony show, they actually talked about the game. And it sounds like they're definitely going to go for that kind of blood money approach of like breaking the game into just contracts. It sounded like, do you get the impression that they're just going to have a bunch of areas and then there'll be contracts within those areas?
I feel like we could discuss this for quite a while where I think this is a cool idea and you think this is a very dangerous idea. But the Hitman concept.
What was your opinion about it? You had a.
I think it's
cool. You had a mic issue.
Positive.
Oh, I thought it was dangerous at first, and then I think it's maybe not as bad as I thought.
Okay. I just don't think it will ever reach the levels where they claim it will be, where they're like, if for one weekend you'll have an assassin's contract where you have to kill one guy in a special mission. It's like, no, you're not going to waste your development costs for one weekend on a special location where everything is unique and he dies and that's 2 days of the year. No, that's not how reality works. That'll be...
No, what's going to happen is they're going to choose one of their six locations, mm-hmm. and then they're going to spawn a dude in it,
yep.
with a name like the Kingpin.
Yep.
And then you just have to kill the Kingpin.
Right, or he's, at the very least, like the very least... You kill him differently.
Yeah, sure. They add like an animation of him dying in a weird way.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. The only way you can kill him is with the rubber ducky.
Yeah. And then you get double XP, of course.
Mm-hmm. But honestly, but yeah, no, I think it's a super cool game design. Like, I think it's like DLC games as a service in a very interesting way. I hope it does well for them. I hope it's. Because, like, within the Hitman franchise, it does really well where it's like you have a series of kills and missions to make, and what's enjoyable about that, doing them a handful of different ways. So make good on that by making a bunch of them, and then make unique things happen after that. I don't know. Like, it sounds like a very, very positive testbed.
It does. I think when they started talking about it, I envisioned some kind of extreme monetization thing going on. But when I actually heard about it, it sounded fine. And it sounds like I said, it sounds like they're trying to copy Blood Money, which was kind of considered one of the best because you get your target and you have such a variety of ways you can approach assassinating them. Like, they just dump you in the level and they're like, here, kill this guy. Go ahead, figure out how to do it. And it sounds like they're going for that again, which will be pretty neat. I actually, despite being concerned at first, I'm actually pretty excited about that. And hey, it's another game that's coming in 2015.
Oh,
they just keep coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's weird. December looks like a pretty crowded month, oddly enough. I don't think people realize that you're supposed to get this stuff out before Black Friday, but
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well,
but
I'm
excited. I'm excited
all year then.
Yeah, I guess people will be desperate.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be like, oh, shit, I got to get my Christmas shopping in.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm actually quite excited for that now, having some time to think about it and really digest what they were kind of spitting at me. I think by that point, I was kind of where you were before the Nintendo conference. I was just ready to be jaded about everything.
Yo, totally understandable. Yeah. Yep. Which is how I was feeling until after I slept on it, and then I was like, oh, actually that could be kind of cool. Like, it's a franchise I don't care a lot about. It kind of fits well within that frame. It's kind of like episodic but dynamically episodic. Okay, let's see how this shakes out.
Yeah, here's my theory about that game. I think the core game is going to be pretty fun. I think all the extra shit is going to be marginally fun. But it'll be interesting in that it's a cool kind of approach to micro DLC.
Yeah.
That probably be free. And hey, maybe it'll sell people on the game. If they have like little mini events, then maybe you could give the title a little bit more legs. That'd be
sure.
Cool.
I kind of look at like how Splatoon is doing, where it's like, you know, you keep playing as the service... in a multiplayer form, but here's a thing you can do in a single player shooter just all by yourself. Like, here's one additional puzzle.
Yeah, and then they had their like other features that they kind of talked up, like the whole like, oh, you can make anyone in the world a target and then kill them and upload it to your friends, and I guess that's kind of cool. I mean, you know, I don't think it's going to be. I think anytime you do something like that, I mean, it's not as tightly designed, so it's going to be somewhat limited in its appeal. But it's cool that they're trying interesting things with that franchise, and I appreciate that they're kind of recognizing that that game is not at its best when it's trying to tell like a gripping tale, and it's better when he's just killing people in cool ways.
Right. Hopefully the movie tells that too.
The movie?
Yeah.
No.
The movie that's coming out next year.
That's not happening. The movie's coming out, but it's going to be terrible.
Well, I was wondering, almost like, certainly. Is this kind of like a Day and Date kind of ploy sort of thing where it's like synergizing brands?
Oh, probably not. Because wasn't the Hitman movie, the first one, a pretty big departure from from the series as a whole? Was that the one that had demons in it? Or was that Max Payne?
Oh, God, I don't remember. Let's move on before we out ourselves as fakers.
Okay, anyway. they showed a little demo, or a little indie, or not indie, my God. They showed a little sizzle reel after that, and I think it was... Like Hitman Sniper was in there.
Yeah.
Looking pretty bad.
Yep.
Triad Wars was in there. Now, is Triad Wars a sequel to Sleeping Dogs? Is it its own thing?
I don't know.
Okay. People really like Sleeping Dogs. I should probably play that game at some point.
Yeah.
I don't I like aggressively don't care about it, but I have it for free on PlayStation.
There are other games that you should play, Jeff, that you aggressively don't care about before Sleeping Dogs.
That's probably true. that was in there. Some FF15 footage was in there. I didn't think they'd show anything, but there it was.
Yep.
Just peeking
also,
in there.
Also, me like, hey, missing my mark. They didn't actually show Final Fantasy 15 in this conference, so...
I mean, they showed it for like 2 seconds. That's why I wrote it down. I was like, okay, it was in a sizzle reel. Does that count?
No. I was waiting. I was fucking waiting for the next exec to get up there and be like... And as a special announcement, Final
Cindy's
Fantasy
will be even larger. The developers discovered more passion, and they made Cindy's breasts even larger.
We discovered a new cup size.
It's very big.
Yeah.
It's very anyway, nice. It's very nice, yes. Mm-hmm. Now we're getting the boron. Yeah. Speaking of weird Japanese shit, they showed off Star Ocean 5, which was another thing I was not
fucking
expecting them to promote.
Weird is part of the conference.
I actually, here's the thing about Star Ocean 5. I'm sure I won't actually like the game if I try to play it, but it kind of looked okay.
Yeah, it looked great.
Yeah. I'm not invested in the Star Ocean series. Have you played any of them?
Nope, not a one.
Okay.
I like Trias. I think Trias does good work.
They do good work. I was once again surprised. I was like, okay, I'm ready for this game to be just the worst trash of all time. And then it was like, it's actually okay.
Right.
Like, it looks kind of fun.
And the dude who was on
art
stage
style,
was like, kind of apologizing for everything with the game.
Yeah. And then he was like, we don't like cutscenes anymore.
Mm-mm.
But they're still in the game, but we don't really like them.
Yeah.
Do you remember that part?
I do, yeah. Like, and it was like, we don't really like turn-based either. And it was just like this like litany of like, we don't like this and this and this. And we're like, oh, okay, well.
I'm glad they went with an incredibly Japanese title of Integrity and Faithlessness.
Yeah, right.
For some reason, I wrote that it was super 90s. Was that an impression that you had? I don't even know why I put that anymore.
Kinda. Yeah, I can see why you said that. I think it was more of like the vibe of the anime shit that was coming through where it's like, we have to defeat the god creature sort of thing.
And then wasn't there like a big reveal in Star Ocean 3 that everything was like a hologram or something?
No idea. Since I didn't play
apparently,
it.
I think in the third entry there was some big polarizing thing that happened where like everything was like a mirage or something. But they set this one after that game. I also really like how they went through the entire Star Ocean continuity.
Yeah.
unlike Miyamoto and Aonuma, they're not picky about letting that timeline out. it was weird. It was super weird. But it looked like a pretty fun game.
It certainly
so that
did.
Was in there.
It had some cool shit for an anime game.
I agree. I really agree. So anyway, that was pretty cool. And then after showing off super Japanese game. They moved over to super Western game, Deus Ex.
Yeah.
And it, the game itself, like, okay, first of all, they showed, I think they showed more CGI bullshit. And somebody came out and, first of all, said Illuminati on stage, which surprised me. And also said mechanical apartheid.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, I had no idea what they were thinking.
Super classy.
Because in your video game, having people with mechanical augmentation separated from regular people
because
is
when
the same
you get
thing
an
as apartheid.
E3, you want people talking about your racist comment for the rest of your life.
This is from the same studio that brought you Letitia.
Oh.
You played Deus Ex, right, Griffin?
I did.
Okay, you spoke to Letitia?
No, who's Letitia?
Letitia is a person of color who is foraging through garbage and has a very questionable accent. Hmm. And basically acts like a stereotype, and it was really embarrassing.
Okay. Well, yeah. Moving on.
Yeah, yeah, moving on, I suppose. Okay, so they showed off the new engine for the game. The Dong engine, as you called it. game does not appear to be drenched in yellow anymore.
No, it doesn't.
That seemed to be removed, which is nice.
Yeah.
It looked pretty cool, actually. I liked what they were doing with the gun. You saw that business?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. I wasn't crazy about how it seemed to de-emphasize it. I don't know. I mean, they were just showing like an action-y playthrough, but it felt like stealth had been de-emphasized. The world felt different.
I felt like they were showing off the action to kind of do the like amends of the last game to say, hey, actually, the action doesn't suck. Because they did show plenty of scenes where you're like behind pillars. Like, of course, what is the most uninteresting thing to watch? Somebody sneak around a guard who's like patrolling an area. Yeah, boring. So you're showing like exciting bits, dudes hiding behind pillars, turning to stone, doing super abilities and whatnot. So I thought it all worked really well. And as long as they're saying like everything's gonna match up with having like the capacity to do guns blazing versus stealth, that's fine. They know that was a problem in the past, so all we can do is trust them.
I suppose so, yeah. I appreciated that they actually showed gameplay, because I got the when they showed like yet another CG looking trailer, I was concerned.
Yeah,
but yeah, they did show gameplay. It looks pretty good. They showed up the adamantium skeleton thing.
Well, much like the Hitman trailer, it looked like it was somewhat in engine. So,
yeah, probably a little bit too good to be true, or like running on like a Titan or something
super PC.
A little bit, yeah,
right,
yeah. But I'm
excited
for that, and that's
not
early...
a CG trailer.
Yes, and that's early 2016, right? No, it's not. There's no date on it, right? There is a date, early 2016. Yeah, early 2016. So yeah, other than their kind of gaffes and just seemingly unable to avoid sounding racist, it looked pretty good. Pretty excited about that. But moving right along, getting kind of close to the end here. I guess they announced the Final Fantasy Portal app. I don't know what that is, and I didn't even see the announcement. Can you explain that to me, Griffin?
Somebody came up on stage and said, hey, we're making an iOS thing where you can like access the Final Fantasy Portal as an app with two P's, and that's I assumed it was like a Japanese thing that was translated to English, and I wrote that down, and that's pretty much it.
Okay. They didn't seem to care too much about it.
They
snuck it in there.
But they did it, and they said it was a big deal to like English audiences. So I was like, well, I don't really know what that means. It's not a game.
All right, well. Yeah, sure, why not? But they followed that up with a really interesting announcement, with a really terrible name for a studio.
Yeah.
So they came out, and it was kind of like a mea culpa. They were like, okay, And this is what I was kind of alluding to before. They were like, we haven't really been focusing on Japanese RPGs so much recently to the detriment of our Japanese audience, essentially. And, you know, some of the fans that grew up with us. So we're going to do that now. And the company that we have created, or the development studio we have created to do that, is called Tokyo RPG Factory, which is the most literal thing you could call that studio.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't, it falls just short of just Japanese RPG Factory.
Right. Japanese video game sweatshop.
Yeah. And they showed off, they said, first of all, they're making a new console RPG. Sounds like new IP, not a spinoff. And they showed, in classic Square form, they showed concept art of this game. And I guess they gave it a name. They called it Project Setsuna, which I guess I learned means moment, I guess, or something like that.
Okay.
And they said it's coming in 2016, and they said nothing else about it.
Oh, great.
In a sense, I guess it's exciting that they are trying to. It feels like somebody got this memo like early in this year. Like, guys, we need to start thinking about the Japanese market again. and they just put together a handful of slides for the show. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we care about this Japanese market still. And we're going to, in the next like 4 or 5 years, we're going to actually try to make it work. But it actually, I mean, it, you know, joking aside, it does seem like they want to think about re-engaging with Japanese audiences, I guess, and also just with people who enjoy those types of games. Especially because after the show, they interviewed Nomura, who, as you may know, is directing the remake of Final Fantasy VII. And he basically said, like, the reason we announced this game now is because PS4 hasn't been selling in Japan. And we want people to buy PS4s for this remake.
Wow.
Yeah, so it seems like they have suddenly decided that it would be prudent for them to try to like reawaken this part of their business. And while I appreciate it, I don't know if it's actually like a good business move.
Yeah,
but it's cool. And yeah, even though the conference itself was kind of boring, I think my impression of it after the fact is that they seem to be trying to pivot back towards things that I like, announcing Nier on stage was really cool. Saying we care about Japanese RPGs again was pretty cool.
Yeah. That's what I think that's what I had mentioned in a previous podcast, where I was like, I think Square needs a brand reset. Square needs to be your best friend who's there with the cool RPGs, and they haven't been doing that for a long time, so here they are. Now, the guys with the coolest RPGs ever.
I wish I knew what you said, because you're turning into a robot again, but it's in time, because we're at the very end, and I'm just going to go back. I'll have to listen to it. I'll have to check the tape and find out what you said.
It ends up being a perfect robot, perfect robot discussion of what I was actually trying to say. So yes, all the cats are accessing the internet right now, so we need to shut this down.
Cats.
Okay,
so here's what's gonna happen. Griffin, I need you to take it home, because I can't hear what you're saying anymore, but we made it to the end.
All right, here we go. Jeff, I'm gonna say cats. You're gonna say poop. Ready? Here we go.
Okay.
Cats.
Poop.
Cats.
Poop.
Ah, 2015 in the books.
We did it.
We did it.
Even with a shitty connection for a moment there.
Hell yeah.
I feel like we should have some kind of like final wrap up where we figure out how we feel about all this stuff. But I don't know if now is the time.
Okay.
Nor do I think it's necessary collection.
I think you're great. One word. Go right now. Secret best end to the podcast regime. How was 2015 T3?
Once again, gonna have to check the tape on that one. No idea what you said, but I heard aubergine.
2015 E3.
Yes, the E3 of Wow. Okay. The E3 of 2015 is now complete. I think we've made it through all the conferences.
Okay.
We're done. PC doesn't matter.
Nope.
It's time to cut this thing.
Actually, it sounds pretty good. Yeah. Fuck the PC.
Cut it now. Cut it now, Griffin.
Shut it down. I'm pulling the cord. If I let you go back the way that I thought I might go today, and I, oh, if I let you inside my mind.